Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The first segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Adrienne Skinner. She'll be telling us a little bit about Paddle All. So tell me a little bit about Paddle All.
Okay, Paddle All is the Canadian national program for people with disabilities. We provide paddling opportunities like dragon boat, canoe and kayak for anyone who has a physical or a intellectual disability.
So what sorts of modified equipment do you use in these efforts?
Well, it's quite grassroots and individualized for whomever is coming out. Everybody's needs are different, and we have people working with us who volunteer their time to modify boats. So there's nothing standardized necessarily.
In that case, can you give me an example of some that has been used?
I myself use something I put on my foot that holds the rudder. I have an above-knee amputation, and usually you hold the rudder in between 2 feet and slide it back and forth that way. But I have something that will hold the rudder for me so I can move it without having to hold it with 2 feet. We also have supports, kind of like training wheels for stability. Special gloves that will hold on to the paddle for people who might have grip issues. Different types of seats that will support someone who needs support throughout their trunk and torso. Those are just a few.
So, how do you go about spreading the word about the work you do?
That's tricky. We try and have our regattas and competitions in local news as often as possible. All the races are included in the regular races. We don't have a separation. All paddle all and para canoe races happen alongside the regular races in our regattas. Also, the Paralympics just happened this year, and for the first time, para canoe was included. So hopefully that will get our word out as well.
So do you happen to know anything about the results of para canoe at the Paralympics?
The results? We had a very good showing, and the competition was quite fierce. We're quite happy about that. The level of competition is getting higher every year as we get more people involved and people see it as a viable option for an alternative sport for people with disabilities.
How does the community typically respond to the work of Paddle All?
I think the community is quite happy to support it. However, funding is always an issue. To be able to run an effective and open program, the clubs need to be accessible. And the clubs generally have been built 50, 60 years ago and are not accessible for the most part. this proves to be a challenge. A lot of the clubs are owned by the city, and that creates a lot of bureaucracy when you're trying to have buildings, existing buildings, made accessible for people.
So what sorts of accessibility features would ideally be in place at a facility?
Docks are very important. A stable dock, as well as sometimes a lift for people to get from a wheelchair or the dock into the boat. Not everyone needs that, but some people do. And these things can be quite expensive, but there is some funding through different grants, and often when the funding is for a program for people with disabilities, the funding is available. Also, elevators or ramps that make grades much more viable for people on wheels or walking. A lot of the grades are quite steep going down to the water, and that can be a problem.
So in your time with the program, has there been any success that stood out for you?
Success? Oh, great success. Yeah, just our ultimate goal was to be in the Paralympics, which we have achieved this year. The program started in 2008. We had our first conference in Montreal, and this whole international drive was started in Canada at Canoe Kayak Canada, and particularly by John Edwards, the development coach or development director for Canada. And from then on, we started gathering other countries and starting the momentum and starting to compete in international competitions, as well as having local clubs start up the paddle all program at their club and train their coaches so that they can effectively coach the new athletes. So it's been a lot of successes. We're quite proud of what's happened in a relatively short time.
So what are the next steps?
Next steps is to continue to grow the program at home and make these clubs accessible and train the coaches and get the athletes out on the water. This is a great sport for anyone who has any kind of disability. It gives you quite a lot of freedom. Getting out on the water after a day at work or at school is quite something, and it's a different world. And for me, it's been just such a wonderful part of my life.
So,
it's also great for veterans who are coming home and are looking for something to keep them going and something that they can do, something that they can enjoy. And it's just another alternative sport for people.
So if you could send any one message about the need for these accessibility upgrades of these facilities, what would you say?
To make them accessible. Often these clubs are on multi-levels and there's nothing but long flights of stairs. So you can't build a program unless the facility is accessible. That's the biggest roadblock that we have right now, I feel.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be
okay.
Great. You know, folks, that's what I love to hear. It's programs like Paddle All that are taking innovations to the forefront, taking what was once considered impossible and finding a way to do it. The fact of the matter is, there's a way for anyone with any type of disability to be out there enjoying nature, enjoying their sport, just being a part of it all. It's limited only by our ability to think outside the box, to see beyond the obvious, not to take the answer that says this can't be done. Coming up with a rudder system that can be operated by the foot, for example. It's a brilliant feat of engineering. Fact is, it enables a person who might have a problem with their hands to still be out there, enjoying the experience of being on the water. The fact is, we as a society have no right to tell any person, whether they have a disability or not, that something cannot be achieved, that there's no way to be out there, to do what they love to do. This comes up especially in disability sport. Many times a person will acquire an injury and assume their game time is over. That is, until they realize that there's still room for great athletic competition, great camaraderie with your teammates, and just some high-energy performance. A person with a disability needs to come to that place where they understand it's not about limitations or what's over. It's about adapting what is. Saying to yourself, I can't do it in the way I used to, but maybe I can do it this way. Nothing's lost by doing what you love to do in terms of sport in a modified way. You're out there with players of roughly equal ability. Maybe the equipment's a little different, but it's still a great game. These athletes, whether it's rowing, biking, swimming, running, basketball, archery, tennis, what have you, these athletes push themselves all their lives to reach their best. Sounds a lot like the able-bodied equivalent to me. Athletes training themselves to have a great experience, a great game. There's no difference in that sense of it between the two. It's just that a person with a disability first must conquer that hurdle that says this is impossible, this can't be done. Once you conquer that, the rest are easy. You come to understand your own strength. The fact is, once you understand that any person with a disability is a capable, strong person, compared to that understanding, nothing can hold water. No person telling you something's beyond your reach will ever hold up. Unless, of course, you allow yourself to believe it. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Are you a University of Windsor student suffering with concerns like depression, anxiety, other mental health issues, relationship or culture shock? Professional therapists at the CAW Center are here to help. We offer short-term and crisis counseling for any full or part-time University of Windsor student. Our offices are located in 293 at the CAW Center, so walk in to make an appointment. We are open Monday to Friday at 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., so walk in and get help. More information can be found at the UN website.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Adrian Skinner from Paddle All. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Katie Atkinson from About Face. Now, for those of you who heard last week's show, you'll know that part of Katie's story was mentioned. Truth is, it's so remarkable, I thought I'd hear from the lady herself. So tell me a little bit about your experiences with About Face.
My experiences with About Face, I mean, I've never not been with About Face. My parents kind of joined the organization when I was, like, I want to say 2 weeks old, but so I've grown up in this, like, loving and accepting community, and it's really helped me to accept my facial difference, and I've made some beautiful friendships, and honestly, I can say that most of the people in About Face are, like, my best friends, and they're really, like, family, and it's just, I think they just promote such a wonderful view of being different, and that's okay. And so my experiences across the board about faith have been phenomenal.
So Anna mentioned to me that you'd taken some unique steps in regards to promoting awareness of facial differences. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
What did she say? Sorry. I guess Anna's referring to, I posted online a picture of myself with my hair up in a ponytail. I think that's I'm just trying to wrap my brain. And that was a couple of years ago, and that was during Camp Trailblazers. And I have bilateral microtia, which means my earlobes didn't fully develop into ears. So basically, I have, like, tiny earlobes. And so basically, I've never worn my hair up in a ponytail ever. And camp is one of the programs that About Face offers for children with facial differences, right? So it's a very welcoming and safe place. And so one year I wrote down my goal was to put up my hair. And so then I achieved that goal, and then I posted it on Facebook, and I wrote a little blurb. And I think they might have included it into one of their newsletters. I'm not 100% sure with that. Yeah, it was just a really big moment for me because I've never done that. And it was just kind of like, I'm done apologizing for being different. You know, these are my ears. And yeah, they've caused me to have a lot of bullying and staring. But at the same time, they've also made me stronger. So I kind of want to celebrate that. And that was kind of the message that I was trying to put forward. And I'm really glad that About Face enabled me to do that.
So were there any challenges in your journey of accepting your facial difference?
I think some of the challenges are coming from realizing that it's okay not to take what other people think to heart. And I've always said that I didn't really know I had a facial difference until other people started noticing I had a facial difference. So basically some of the challenges were being excluded at like different camps or at school, constantly being stared at, and like little kids sometimes just point there. And so that's definitely been hard to overcome because some days you're just really not feeling like it. Like you just want to go to Tim's, right? And not have all these kids stare at you while you're waiting in line for your coffee. And it's definitely taking me a long time. I'm 18 now, and I'm slowly starting to feel really comfortable in my skin, and just to realize that, you know what? It is what it is. I can't change it. And I have to love myself for who I am, and I'm different. And About Face has given me the platform to have so many cool opportunities that I wouldn't have if I wasn't different. And I think it makes me more, I'm more perceptive of the world and more intuitive. And I'm also more accepting of all differences across the board, whether they be facial or physical or mental. And it's made me more of a compassionate person. So I have to remind myself of that when I do get scared at or when I do get made fun of because of my face.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the need for awareness and to dispel all the myths surrounding differences of all types, what would you say?
I think I would say that, you know what? It is what it is. People are different, and that's so cool, because what if we all looked the same? What if we all acted the same? The world would be so boring. And I know that's such a cliche, but it's something that I really like to take to heart, because we're all unique, and we all have some kind of difference, whether it is facial, physical. And it makes for new experiences. And we don't know, like, that person who has a facial difference sitting across from you in the coffee shop, they could be the most hilarious, interesting person. They could be an engineer. They could be a neuroscientist. Like, you have no idea what people's stories are until you look past their difference and really look into who they are. And you'll find out that, you know, they're really cool people. Like, some of my friends are very complex, and they have facial differences, and I bet some people wouldn't know that just by looking at them. So it's important not to judge a book by a cover, but actually open up the book and read what's inside.
So what do you foresee for the future? Do you think people will eventually come to where they can accept one another, as you say?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, the future is so unpredictable. I think we're definitely moving in the right direction. I really, like, that is my biggest wish, is that we're all taking those pills with each other. We're all accepting with each other. And I hope that, you know, we've definitely progressed in terms of differences and accepting accommodations and what have you. So my hope is that when in the future, when somebody has a difference, it's not a difference. You know what I mean? It's just who they are.
So, in other words, to see this as what it is, one part of
yes.
who a person is. They could be a complete person with family, friends, hopes,
exactly.
dreams.
Exactly. Exactly. I know, like, in movies, you know, people face with differences or differences. They're usually portrayed as the villain, like, you know, Scar and The Lion King and other movies like that. They're usually the villain or the bad guy, and nobody thinks that they're going to be, you know, the best friend or the doctor or, you know, the wife. And I hope that we can start portraying differences in the media better and maybe have somebody who faces a difference actually be like the teacher or something instead of always the villain. And I hope that moving forward in the future, we stop portraying people with facial differences in the media as being negative or bad or being a villain, because I think that's some of where the stigma stems from. If we see these people on the screen and we see them out in the street and we make the correlation, we're like, well, they're a villain in this movie, so they must be weird, they must be bad. So I hope that moving forward in media and, you know, different shows and TV, that we start portraying differences. It's just another, you know, it's just another person. It's not anything to be feared.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
In this next segment of our show, our good friend Melissa Miner will be talking about the accessibility of the recent Downtown Music Initiative gala. So.
Okay, well, our recent gala was on Friday, September 30th, and it did have some pros and cons in terms of accessibility. The dance floor and tables were all at one even floor. There was no steps going into the building. However, the stage was not accessible at all. So if anyone with a disability needed to go up on stage to claim a prize, or if the band called them up on the stage, or anything like that, there was zero accessibility with that respect. But we did have to have microphones that, with the cords long enough to go to the end of the stage so that people can stand on the floor, and we could still do our costume contest, because in our gala, people came dressed as their favorite rock star, and we did a costume contest, and we just did that on the main floor, and yeah.
So in previous shows, you've talked about having family members with disabilities. Now, they were in attendance at the gala. Can you tell me a little bit about how they responded to the whole thing?
Oh, they loved it. They had a lot of fun. My brothers have disability. They're born with brain damage. And physically, they're very active and can get around, aside from also having epilepsy. Both of them have that as well. We didn't have any, like, strobe lights or anything that could possibly trigger an epileptic seizure. But when the band played, both of my brothers were up there dancing and having a good time. They both just really, really love music, so seeing live music is, like, a huge treat, and they just had a really fun time afterwards. So
what sorts of things do you look for, ideally, in terms of accessibility, when you pick a venue?
Well, my assistant, the assistant to the director is Joe Ritchie, and he is a quadriplegic. And so any venue I go to, whether it's for a fundraiser or if it's possibly checking out a teaching location, I have to see if, like, even the doors work. Because there are times where I've gone to places and it had the handicapable door button, and it didn't actually work. The doors didn't actually work, and so they're actually heavier to open, and harder for Joe to go through. So I definitely, it's the doors, and I also look out for steps without alternatives, ramps or anything like that. Actually, at one of our locations, our stage was built on a, like you had to take two steps up to get to the stage. But one of our volunteers built a ramp so that Joe could get up and down the stage because he teaches using the audio equipment on the stage. So anyway, so basically the doors accessibility and the steps are the big ones. And then also the washroom accessibilities, making sure there's appropriate stalls.
So you mentioned Joe is a quadriplegic. Can you tell me about his abilities as an assistant? Has he proven to be as effective as his able-bodied counterparts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He does the work that I don't want to do, so he makes my job so much easier. He takes care of all of the scheduling, and when you have over 100 students and nearly 50 volunteers, it's just scheduling of lessons and stuff every week is just a nightmare. But he has a good, solid, easy way of finding out who takes lessons with whom, and when there's lesson cancellations, he's the one that people contact, and he lets the teachers know or the students know. And then when it comes to working with students, he helps me run my Saturday violin class, and he's great because he's in a wheelchair. It's like his eye level is right at the kid's eye level. And he's just really funny too, and the kids really like that as well. And he explains what I was teaching. He can explain it and re-explain it in different ways. He himself has 3 kids, so he knows a little bit, and he homeschools all of them, so he knows a little bit about how the young minds work and how they grasp information. So both as a teacher and as an administrative helper, he's the tops.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
You're very welcome.
I know, my friends, I've said this many times before, but a person with a disability is never, ever to be underestimated in terms of what they can accomplish. Fact of the matter is, Joe works for Melissa. He does as good a job, if not better, than anyone else you could bring to the position. He hasn't allowed his condition to limit him in any way. Hasn't allowed the perception of his condition to limit him in any way. And why should it? The fact of the matter is, a person with a disability is fully capable of achieving. It's simply a matter of finding the right way. The disability credo, one of my favorites, goes, I can do anything you can. It's just a question of how. Meaning, there's always a modification. There's always a route that can be taken. For the simple truth of the matter is, the DMI does an amazing job. By having Joe there, it's giving these kids a very important lesson along with the music they're learning. It's teaching them that people with disabilities are just people with jobs, hopes, dreams, families. And really, I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that as an organization, they're really taking diversity and accessibility to heart. It's one thing to say, oh yes, we embrace this, that, and the other, but to really put it into practice, to really make it concrete, sends a very clear message. We are committed to equality. And our actions will match our ideals. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.